I'll call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Ms. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner McClegg?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Excused.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. Is he still in the way? Or?
Yeah, he's in Detroit. His mother is.
All right, will you please rise during the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll get right to it. We have a lot of business to conduct tonight. For you is the minutes of Thursday, April 5th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to public hearings and business items. Mr. Edel, do you have a public notice or anything?
Okay. Yes, sir.
You want to read it? Or have Mr. Fuchs read it?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 19th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Stacy M. Tushel, owner of Studio 21 Pond Dance Academy, Inc., doing business as the Academy of Performing Arts, for a special use under standard industrial classification title number 7911, dance studios, schools, and halls, and a special use under standard industrial classification title number 8351, child daycare services, to allow for a dance, music, and acting instruction use and a daycare services use upon property zoned plan development district number 16, Franklin Center, located at 7221 South 76th Street.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. Are there any parties wishing to speak regarding item 3A on tonight's agenda? Are there any parties wishing to speak regarding item 3A regarding Studio 21 Palm and Dance Academy? Going once, going twice, going three times. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing on just item 3A? Given no one, are you on item 3A?
I'm just the owner. I don't know if you, if you're just asking for, you need to know that. No.
Anyone else? You are entitled to speak, but I think given that you're the applicant, we understand you're for this. Okay. Giving no one else as wishing to speak during the public hearing, we'll close the public hearing. I'm just going to throw out, is there a motion to recommend approval of resolution imposing conditions and restrictions by the approval of a special use for a dance, music, and acting instruction use and daycare services use on property located at 7221 South 76th Street?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Only from the mayor, and that's that property owners have in the recently called to my attention that they are having great difficulty filling vacant spaces throughout Franklin because of these many special use requirements, and that they have lots and lots of people who want to do business in Franklin that are being held up or for a period of time, and that during that time period, according to the people that own the facilities, that many of these businesses are going elsewhere to do business. So I've asked Mr. Deedle to put together a meeting of the Mayoral Ad Hoc Development Review Committee, because we have not had that transferred yet, and to take up just that specific item. So that's my piece. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much for coming to Franklin and doing business and being patient with us. We're trying to straighten some things out. So, and hopefully, congratulations. And we wish you well. Okay, next item is Scott Diller, Vice President of Integrated Aquatics, Inc. Mr. Deal.
There are two public hearings on this one. Would the Plan Commission like to do address both at the same time?
If we can do that, Mr. City Attorney, I think the answer is yes. So, Ms. Fuchs, you want to read both public notices?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 19th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Scott Biller, Vice President of Integrated Aquaponics, Inc., an indoor controlled environment agriculture system business, for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0602 to add controlled environment agriculture as a type of use and to allow such use as a special use in the RC1 Conservation Residence District, A1 Agricultural District, and A2 Prime Agricultural District. This is the second public hearing notice. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, April 19, 2012, 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Scott Biller, Vice President of Integrated Aquaponics, Inc., for a special use to allow for an indoor controlled environment aquaponic agriculture system business use upon property zoned RC1 Conservation Residence District located at 3617 West Elm Road.
All right, I'm going to open this up for a public hearing. We should just go through a brief presentation. Let me ask the plan commissioners, do you want to have a brief presentation, or are you...
I'm okay with it as long as nothing significant has changed since the presentation of the Common Council last October. If it's significant changes since then, yes, I'd have to hear them. But I don't know that everyone's been sitting
present. Dilo, have there been significant changes?
I don't believe so.
Just that we've gone from six modules to four modules. Other than that, the design.
All right. With that, I'll open this item up for public hearing. Are there any parties wishing to come forward on item 3B, the Scott Biller Integrated Aquatics proposal to speak on the issue? Yes.
Steve Taylor, 2812 West Hilltop Lane, Alderman of the District. I support this project 100%. I know he's made a few minor changes. It's a unique project. I think location off of 27th Street, which won't be developed for, I'm sure, well, hopefully sooner than later, but until that time, I think it's something that we should definitely approve. We've got some good press so far, and I think once it's up and running, we'll continue to get more. So as the Alderman of the District, I am behind you 100%.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Are there any citizens or interested party wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, ma'am, if you could come forward and please take the microphone. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Joanne Wendt-Kesner. We own the land adjacent north of this address. I don't know anything about this, so I don't know what kind of facility this is and what kind of business it is. Because our firm is for sale as well.
Okay. And you're just to the north?
Yes, we're in Oldport.
Okay. All right, we'll, I think once we close the public hearing, we'll have the staff put some things up. Can you put them up on the...
Yes, we can, but it's not working very well.
Can you put it up on the thing here and then shoot it up or no?
Yeah, I think we just have electronic... and page size.
Do you have a picture of it or anything that can go up on the cameras? I'll continue with the public hearing. Mr. Deedle, I'm going to continue with the public hearing and then see if anyone else is interested in speaking on this. Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing on item 3B? Yes, sir. If you could please
My name is John Borkard. I live at 11800 7 and a half Melville, Caledonia. My wife and her sister jointly own the property that's immediately to the east. They inherited from the Barr family. About 15 years ago, we were here at a hearing when this was zoned for industry use. My mother-in-law, Violet Marr, paid some $30,000 for road improvement there to make it useful for industry. We had a meeting here. Folks up there, including the planning people, talked about a master plan. They wanted to change that to light business, residential farther to the west. There were four people, property owners, who were affected by that change in zoning. They all spoke against it, as did the previous mayor of Franklin. The movement, the motion was shelved at that time. The next meeting you had, unbeknownst to us, the zoning was changed. That directly affected our property value. Now it's zoned for business, is my understanding. I'm for Mr. Mueller getting his variance. But if the city is going to go to those lengths to have some sort of a master plan, even though the people who own property were badly affected by it, where's your master plan? If you're going to have variations, why not go back to the original? Why are you doing this now? I don't understand. I felt you did this very clandestinely when this group made that change. And now you're giving variations. Fine. I don't mind Mr. Mueller having his variation, but explain yourselves.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing on item 3B? Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing on item 3B? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And then, Mr. Deedle, we had a person, we had two people that had questions regarding the subject matter. The first wanted to know about the business and wanted to know exactly what it is that is being proposed, and she lives just to the north of the property. So would you run through this as maybe as quickly as possible, and I'll try and address the other gentleman's question.
The property owner is proposing a project called aquaponics. It's an agricultural type activity. It's a combination of hydroculture, which is growing plants in water, and aquaculture, or aquaponics, which is fish. So it'll be a closed system within greenhouse-like buildings where they'll be growing plants and fish, and it'll be a closed-loop system, so the fertilizer from one will help fertilize the other. That's the business they're proposing. In roughly two phases, the first phase will be three greenhouses attached to a building up front. So it'll be like offices and supplies and stuff in the building, and the three greenhouses in the back. Possibility for three more modules like that, all connected together. And also a possibility for a farmer's market if this business does take off. So it's a business, but it's agricultural-like use. The property, his property is zoned RC1, which is Conservation Subdivision Residential. Your property and all the property to the east is zoned business, but this property is zoned residential. So that's what he's proposing to do. To be able to do that, he would have to have the ordinances of the city changed to allow this type of use in a residential district. So that's one change he's asking for. And the other change he's asking for is to allow this as a special use and then get permission to have this business.
Are you addressing the lady's question?
Combination of both, I was hoping.
Because I think that what the young lady asked was that what type of business is this?
So again, it's aquaponics, and it's a combination of fish and plants grown in a greenhouse-like atmosphere. Not too many employees, and like I said, possibility for future additions. Total area that this would encompass would be about 5 acres, and that they have about an 80-acre parcel. So the entire farm property is about 80 acres. The portion they will use for this project will be just about 5. And it's those 5 acres closest to the cul-de-sac on Illinois.
Let me see if I can try something maybe layman's term. This would be like a greenhouse where you could raise vegetables and fish like tilapia. And that the water would be recycled, and the products from both from the fish and from the vegetables would keep the system self-sustaining.
Correct.
So it'd be very much from the outside, if one didn't know what it was like. It would be like going by a set of greenhouses.
Correct.
Does that help, ma'am?
First, three greenhouses, we call that a module because it'll be three greenhouses connected to that little building up front and the possibility for three more just like it. So it'll be four modules and entire 12 greenhouses. He did prepare a concept for the majority of his property that's not being reviewed or approved at this time, but he was trying to show that this project could be consistent with the plans that the city currently has right now. He was envisioning as a concept only, not being required for approval at this time, is that there still be residential development on the rest of that property. Possibly some of that residential development would have additional aquaponic type activities on there associated with the residential.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the gentleman also said that in the event that there was a large proposal, let's say from Kohl's Corporation, or another Harley-Davidson proposal or something like that, that the way in which this structure is constructed, that it would be easily to unconstruct it and move it to another location. I also thought the gentleman said that if somebody offered him a great deal of money for this, my words, it would be kind of foolish on his part not to accept that and then move the operations down the road.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
Pretty good? So, and then on with the gentleman's question, I always refer to that first meeting that I chaired as the mayor of the city as the meeting with the 100 angry people, because it was at the law enforcement center. Fred Clements did appear. He did speak on the subject matter. I had sat next to Fred for many years as an alderman. My recollection was, yes, it was a master plan. The city does intend to stick with the master plan that was constructed with Tickner and Associates and R.A. Smith and the road plans and all that. I would say it is the intent and has not changed, even though the councils have changed, that it's still an intention to have that as a future business park or to have future businesses over there. Mar property, if I remember correct, is right on the corner of 27th and Oakwood, no?
No, it's at the very end, just before the cul-de-sac, right immediately east of this gentleman's property.
Okay. Where's the Wynn property? I get those two confused.
That's
you? Okay. All right. I know I went out there when the whole thing was being proposed when I was an alderman and drove up and down Elm Road and drove all over the place and walked it. So, is there anything that I'm saying that's incorrect? I haven't heard that the Common Council has put forward any resolution or anything that would alter the plans for that area.
No, although staff is recommending no on this project. But the council has not changed any plans for this area.
There was also, sir, you might remember, there was a great deal of concern by many of the property owners and especially the businesses regarding if they wanted to sell their property and another person wanted to buy their property and stayed in the same business, would they be able to do that? I would say of the 99 people, and I'm just putting 99 out there, that maybe 50 to 60% of the people were concerned about that because it was their property and their use of their property. And I think what Fred came in and said that night was something like, So what is the government trying to be, a big brother, telling people how they can use their property or not use their property? But that's about 8 years ago, I think. I do remember it vividly because I'm going, oh, boy, you know, the first meeting of the Plan Commission, and this is what I had. So I hope it explains that, as far as I know, there's been no intention by any council members to deviate from the Tickner plan with the, you know, the, what is it, B4, B7 zoning?
The zoning adjacent is B7.
Okay, B7. Now, council members may have ideas as to what types of businesses or architectural standards or construction standards they may want to see for the future of the corridor, because the economic climate has changed so differently. But I can tell you that former councils actually turned down about a $70 million medical complex going right next to Wheaton Francisca. Not the current council, but other councils. Because they wanted to insist upon staying with the high standards that was part of that program that you talked about. And you can see the same structure on Appleton Avenue in Menominee Falls. And every time I go by it, I sort of cry that we couldn't say yes to those two proposals. But the council did stick to that. So does that help at all?
If I may just state one thing and then a question. The one thing that bothers me is that $30,000 is the number that I remember my mother-in-law paying for road improvements, so that that would be industrial quality highway. Then the council turns around some years later with a different study and says, well, it's going to be residential, but you don't get your money back. Too bad. $30,000 out the window. It's a nice highway, but it's not being used as it was constructed for. Fine. That's the statement. The question is, where will the gentleman be getting his water from? Because I don't believe there's any city sewer water out there.
Yeah, and that'll be addressed. I believe Mr. Bennett just recently wrote a message to the applicant, and they said that there is no sewer or water out to that facility right now. I just read it a few moments ago. So, this address, the city engineer did tell the applicant that there is no city water or sewer out there, and that I believe they would have to have a well. And they would have to have on-site sewage treatment. Okay. That's the best I can do today. Anything else regarding this subject? Talk to the planning commissioners. Mr. Micklick?
We had this presented to us on the Forward Franklin Economic Development Committee, and we were all very impressed with the concept. And most impressed with the fact that here would be a business that is self-contained, creates virtually no waste, and I can't think of another business you could put in that would do something like that. And is also so adaptable and promotable. So you would have something going into an area right now that's not being used that pretty much in a relative snap of the wrist, you could get it out of there if something else wanted to go in. But there's also precedent for commercial buildings and headquarters building around those sorts of facilities and being attracted to areas that have a facility like that. So they could actually make a rooftop aquaponic unit in that same area. So it's adaptable, it's promotable, it's attractive to other development. The surrounding areas suddenly are going to become a little more valuable to people. The local food movement is something that that restaurateurs are looking at. We want restaurateurs to go along in this direction. So I'm all for the project and willing to jump through some hoops to make sure that this happens, because I think it'd be a great thing to promote the city, bring some attention, some positive attention. And as noted, it's one of the few projects you can put in a piece of land like that that, if need be, can come out pretty quickly without leaving a mark.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, I have really two things. Number one, I think item 8 in the resolution needs to be removed, because that basically states that they aren't going to have occupancy until sewer water is extended. We can serve the east half of Elm Road from 27th Street with sewer extended down, because sewer only goes to Oakwood Road at this time. So we could extend sewer down south to Elm Road and then west on Elm Road to about halfway between existing Elm Road. Unfortunately, that's the top of a rise, and you can't service this area to 27th Street. This area would have to be serviced with a sewer going to the north through the Wendt property. I, I've talked to the Wentz to go to a point pretty close to where we have the stormwater basin for Oakwood Road, which is south of Oakwood Road, partially on the Wentz property and partially on Milwaukee County property. At that point, a lift station could be built, so this property could drain to the north into that future lift station and then pump back up to the sewer on Oakwood Road. And we have built capacity based on zoning into that. So I think you should remove that because it is not practical at this point in time to get sewer and water to this parcel. It's just absolutely, first of all, you have to get easements to the Wendt property, and we don't even have a layout for roads. You have to build a lift station that would service the whole area. It would be a massive project. And then, unfortunately, the water really needs to come from the other direction. And, again, water is at Oakwood and 27th Street. So, really, I don't think water is in sewer water. Either one are in any possible reach for this development. My other concern is this. And I realize that if this development had to put in the extension of streets, that it more than likely could not go ahead. But if they don't at least reserve the streets for the extension of Elm Road to the west, if somebody wanted to come in and build on the Wendt property or an industrial development, we couldn't extend the street because we'd only have half a street. So my suggestion is that they reserve the street. That means it doesn't have to be built at this time. But in the future, the city could accept the reservation, and then they would have the street. The only other way, if somebody came in and wanted to build on the north, they would have the city probably is the only one they'd have to buy the city, buy the street, or whoever's going to build on the north side would have to buy half the width of the street, plus give their own. So my suggestion would be, and I don't think it would be a big imposition to the owners, that they should just reserve the north half, the south half, which would be the north part of the property, of Elm Road extended. Likewise, when the Marr property was developed to the east, they were required to dedicate a half street. And so we already have a half street dedicated, would be on the east side of this development. I would suggest that they reserve the road right-of-way on the east side. So this would not require them to build anything. It wouldn't require any real investment. But it would hold open if somebody wanted to build and the city was in favor of that and thought it was worthwhile, the city could then put that road in by special assessments and assess the budding property owner, therefore holding the land to the north with the ability to be developed. And same thing with the Marr property. That could be developed and that road extended to the south. So that would be my suggestions, and I don't think it would wouldn't add really any construction cost to the project, but would hold open some options for the city of Franklin, particularly for industrial use in this area, because if not, you're cutting off any extension of use to the three directions, the east, the north, or the west. So that's my suggestion that you would do that and then remove item 8 from the ordinance.
Okay. I'm looking out in the audience, and I'm looking at Mr. Biller, and the whole time Mr. Bennett was speaking, he was nodding his head yes. But for the record, I would like to ask him if he's in agreement with what Mr. Bennett had to say. And if you could, please come up on the microphone and address them.
Sure. Yes. I actually, on the site plan, we actually have dedicated or reserved that 40-foot right-of-way on both the north side of our property and the east side of our property for future extension of 35th Street and Elm Road.
But it would be a full reservation, right? Not just a notation on a...
Right. We would memorialize that if you would like. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Ritter.
Just to be clear, I assume we're talking about the entire length and width of this property, not just a portion of it that's being proposed for development at this time.
Yes.
We're happy to do it. I mean, I've looked at the Tickner report and a lot of the other layouts, and the road design doesn't necessarily conform to that, and ultimately I don't know if anybody knows where the roads are going to end up, but we're happy to set it aside until, you know, that's been worked out with engineering. So.
And just for the clarification of the public is, my recollection is for that area, you know, where Wheaton Franciscan is, as much of that is zoned for business commercial use, but just like the property that is just to the west of the Wheaton Franciscan site, that's zoned residential. And I believe Mr. Biller's area also is could be used for mixed use or for residential property. Is that correct, Mr. Deal?
From a zoning standpoint, his property can only be used for residential. From a planning standpoint, the comprehensive master plan, mixed use.
Okay. And that that did come and it did flow strictly from the Tickner report and R.A. Smith report, which was the meeting that you attended, sir, some 8 years ago, I think. It's getting hard for me to count them in. Ben?
Yeah, so my recommendation would be then in the document is to drop out item 8. That's not necessary. But then add another item and basically stating prior to issuing a building permit, the owner shall reserve the north, I think it's 40 feet, for road purposes, and the east 40 feet for road purposes. And let me correct the distances, but I think there it's an 80-foot street and right-of-way. That's not the roadway width, but the right-of-way width. But let me hold off to let planning know to what the other areas. I think it's 40 feet, 80-foot road, 40-foot site.
Okay. Well, let me, Mr. Ritter.
I agree with what you have proposed here. My only question would be, in lieu, should we use something else in lieu of item 8? I mean, the typical procedure is that where there isn't sewer and water, that the property owner petitions the council, and then the council either approves or denies, and then if they deny, the applicant can go ahead with their own on-site.
Just for water.
Yeah. But should we, if, I can certainly agree that, yeah, condition 8 as it is shouldn't apply, but should we have something else there in lieu of it, or just is dropping it out?
I guess what I would do is I have two prepared motions as normal from the city attorney's office, and I guess what I would ask him is based on the conversation, the dialogue that's taken place, would he be amenable to fashion a motion for the plan commission? City attorney?
Sure, but I don't know that I'm fully conversant with the details of the reservation, but I would suggest that the motion of West Elm Road extended.
The north 40 feet of the parcel for Elm Road is extended, and the east 40 feet, and I don't think we've ever given a name for that street, but this just the east 40 feet reserved for road purposes. In fact, you don't want to give the street, just the north 40 feet reserved for road purposes, and the east 40 feet reserved for road purposes. And I'll check those distances tomorrow for sure.
And that's, when you say north and east, those are at the boundary of the entire property?
Yes.
Well, this would only then apply. There's a text amendment which has to be acted on first. This would special use recommendation, and it would be a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for the development of an indoor controlled environment aquaponic agriculture system business use upon property located at 3617 West Elm Road, subject to the final approval of the related Unified Development Ordinance text amendment and subject to the draft resolution for the Plan Commission at its meeting on April 19, 2012, being amended to delete the draft paragraph number 8 condition and to in place thereof insert, and I'll paraphrase here, a applicant shall deliver to the city the appropriate road reservation for the north 40 feet and the east 40 feet of the applicant's property for future road extension purposes, and that such reservation in proper form shall be filed prior to the issuance of a building permit.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Oh.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. I have two more suggested motions, and I think two is supposed to be where three is, or three is supposed to be where two is.
That'd be the first one.
Okay.
First page.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text of Table Chapter 15-3.0602 to add controlled environment agriculture as a type of use and to allow such use as a special use in the RC1 Conservation Residence District, A1 Agricultural District, and an A2 Prime Agricultural District?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. City Attorney, I got two arrows going up and down. It's always nice to sit next to the world's greatest municipal attorney. We ask him to do difficult things all the time. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0352A pertaining to off-street parking? Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, Mr. City Attorney.
The chairman has to vote if the chairman is interested in this matter occurring. The chairman of the Plan Commission may vote to affect the result. Under code, 5 affirmative votes are required.
Okay. The chairman elects to vote aye. Any noes? Seeing none, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0353B, Chapter 15-3.0353C, and Chapter 15-3.0353E pertaining to pedestrian amenities, site furnishings, and landscaping?
Second.
Is there a second? This, too, requires 5 affirmative votes, so the chairman will be voting. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0355 pertaining to architectural requirements? And again, this requires 5 affirmative votes. Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Don't forget that Mr. Bennett said he thinks it's 40 feet. Usually we take that as gospel. Right? All right. I'm going to, the Plan Commission is already adjourned. I'm going to ask the chairman of...
I move adjourned.
I'm sorry?
No, you said adjourned. Plan Commission.
Oh, did I say it? I thought you said...
No.
The Plan Commission is still convened, so I'm going to ask the chairman of the Ford Franklin Committee, Mr. Haskins, to convene the Ford Franklin Committee and to ask to take the role of Mr. Haskins. And if you could, for the record, grab a microphone. Or first order of business would be to ask to open up the Ford Franklin Committee. And Mr. Sajak, I guess, probably takes the role. You need a gavel?
No, thanks. My pen works.
Sorry.
I guess I'd like to call to order the, let's see here. Tonight's meeting of the Ford Franklin Economic Development Committee, if I can get organized, Thursday, April 19th. Mr. Sadak.
Chairman Haskins.
Here.
Member Michalik.
Here.
Member Sweeney.
Here.
Member Tatlock.
Here.
Member Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Member Iwinski had indicated she was not available this evening and is absent. We have a quorum.
All right. So the record will reflect that the Ford Franklin Committee has a quorum. I'm now going to call the City of Franklin's Community Development Authority to order, and I'm going to ask Mr. Wesolowski, Executive Director, to take the role.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Holtfer?
Here.
Mr. Malarkey?
Here.
Ms. Ryan?
Here.
Mr. Cass?
Here.
Mr. Bartles?
Here.
And Alderman Skransky is excused.
All right. Could we please stand and for a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. First of all, thank you all for coming down in such inclement weather. We do have some very important items to discuss, and as you may have noticed, it's we don't normally bring these all these committees together unless it is of such importance. You should all have a copy of a letter that I sent out to the Community Development Authority, Plan Commission, Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission. Subject matter is streetscape decisions for South 27th Street. Everyone have that letter? Okay. And in the letter, it gives some background history of what has transpired, where we are today, the actions of the steering committees, probably from its inception to the current makeup of the steering committees for 27th Street, and their recommendations that have come to the attention of the Franklin Common Council, and were discussed at a meeting that took place on, I believe, March 13th, 2012, with representatives from the great city of Oak Creek, our good partner in the 27th Street Corridor Project. To summarize that meeting, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Haskins or Alderman Taylor, who was at the meeting. The two communities were able to come to consensus as far as making recommendations back to the various committees and common councils of the two cities, that based on the recommendations that had come from the last meeting of the steering committee for 27th Street, that City of Oak Creek, still a good, solid partner in the 27th Street corridor plan, would be amenable to sharing the costs for the recommendations from the steering committee, joint steering committee for both cities, and would be willing to pay for 50% of the cost of the streetscape elements, and those elements that were agreed upon at the December 8th meeting. On top of that, it's my understanding, recollection, that the great city of Oak Creek and its representatives had also agreed to pay up to 10% of the cost associated with the burying of cables and electrical lines and whatever else is on those lines on the west side of 27th Street, which is totally within the city of Franklin. You should also have in front of you a document dated April 16th, 2012. It's to the file. It's from John M. Bennett, professional engineer, city engineer, city of Franklin, and subject cost of placing utilities, telephone, cable, electric, underground on the west side of South 27th Street from West College Avenue to West Drexel Avenue. And for the benefit of the members of the various committees and for the public, we are talking about the segment of 27th Street corridor that extends from College Avenue to Drexel Avenue, period, for tonight's discussion. We are not talking about the entire stretch of the 27th Street corridor, which is about 6 miles in length, and which ends at South County Line. So these items are only specific to that precise area of College to Drexel Avenue. For the benefit of the public, that would encase, or that would, we'd be speaking about the corner of 27th and College, which is where a Kentucky Fried Chicken facility is located. Along that strip, you would see the newly remodeled Walmart, and Sam's Club, along with Durham Sports. A little bit further to the south, you would see Omega Ice Cream and Hamburger, along with Lowe's Retail Center. Then moving down across Rawson Avenue, there would be a gas station on the corner, St. James Church, some homes on Minnesota Avenue, some empty lots, and then a carpet and tile facility. And then there's the Northwestern Mutual Campus, which would end on Drexel Avenue, just so everyone is familiar with the area. Mr. Bennett's memo estimates, I believe the estimate originally was, what, $3 million? $3 million for the bearing. He now estimates that the cost for that stretch would be, for We Energies, would be $1,496,000. Cost for burying the Time Warner cables would be $261,785. And the cost associated with AT&T Time Warner cable would be $260,000, for a grand total of $2,017,785. So based on the conversations and the proposals from the City of Oak Creek, the City of Oak Creek would share in 10% of the cost if they're in agreement with these numbers. There's their engineer, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, let me just explain the numbers. The first two numbers are numbers that the utilities have given us. Time Warner and We Energies have given us numbers. I could not get AT&T to give us any numbers. They said if we wanted a cost estimate, we had to pay for it. So I just made the assumption, and that's the only really assumption in this thus far, is that AT&T would be very similar to Time Warner. They're both bearing cables that are somewhat similar. So that's the only really unknown. But if we wanted an estimate from AT&T, we have to pay them for that. If we go ahead and build the facilities, they'll return the money. But if we don't go ahead and build the facilities, we don't get the cost back for them estimating the cost.
Okay. And I guess I would also point out to you on page 3 of the March 30th document, bullet point number 3, where it says the City of Franklin would contact Northwestern Mutual to determine if there was an interest on the part of Northwestern Mutual to pay for the installation and or maintenance costs associated with any of the streetscape elements such as rain gardens or native landscaping that are no longer being proposed at this time. I had been contacted by Northwestern Mutual from time to time we get together to for them to update me on items. And we were supposed to have a meeting scheduled, which was changed and still waiting for a reply back. It's not unusual given the scope of the issues that Northwestern Mutual is involved in and their agents flying all over the world to take care of issues. So when that issue is confirmed, I will convey to the representatives of Northwestern Mutual the questions that were raised by both Oak Creek and Franklin. But that has not occurred as of today. So with that, I believe there's a presentation. Is that Mr. Bennett or Mr. Sajak is going to walk all of us through, including the public, this presentation about combined total results from element rankings.
While he's getting ready, let me just say I did pass out what HNTV has prepared for the committee, and I highlighted the items except for the street trees, and you can kind of see them all through the property, of just where these items are going on the property. I had a PowerPoint, but I don't order it on a PowerPoint, but I could project these, but I think the best thing is that as Brian goes through these, that you can get an idea where these different features are going to be placed in the right of way. I mean, this is still preliminary by far, I'm sure, but this is where we are at this point in time. And then there's a detail of the features in the back few pages. Brian's going to show you, I think, colored renderings of these, but you'll have everything at your fingertips to see what's what.
I guess just before we start, I did talk about representatives agreeing to share 50% of the cost of those streetscape elements that were recommended for both joint steering committees, but I did not talk about the cost that came up. My recollection, it was $1.4 million.
That'll be part of what I've got to present.
And that was to be shared with 50% or about $750,000 per community. Mr. Sajan.
In addition to the items that the mayor has already discussed with each of you, having received, you received an email from Attorney Wesolowski, had a couple of attachments to it. Some of these are things that were attached there, and I just kind of wanted to go through them to highlight for you what you're looking at. The first page here is a list of all of the potential elements and their preferred rankings. And when I say the preferred rankings, a number of years ago, as this project was just getting started, the Common Council, the Steering Committee, the Common Council over in Oak Creek all got together and identified certain priorities that they had in terms of what their vision for the corridor was. The consultant, HNTB, came in, did a presentation that was somewhat similar to what we're doing tonight, showed all of the different options, and then had everybody kind of select which ones they wanted. As you can see from what you're looking at here, the ones that I've highlighted in yellow are items that are all maintained in the current proposal as it stands. And in fact, most of the items that have been removed from that kind of original proposal are things that were really ultimately beyond our control. So, for example, the best example of that is the roundabouts there at number 9. State decided that instead of doing roundabouts, that they wanted to do traditional intersections. They asked for input from the municipalities and made the ultimate decision that roundabouts were not going to work for this particular corridor because of the volume of traffic that it handles, both on a daily basis, but also more importantly in the event that there was an incident on the freeway that would require a diversion off of the freeway. The thought was that in that circumstance, roundabouts would fail miserably. And so that was the primary reason behind removing the roundabouts. Removing also the number 14, the public art. The proposal there was that the art was going to be within the roundabout area. So if we don't have roundabouts, we don't have space to put public art in those locations. Number 16 there, the traffic signals, particularly the sign bridge. What that means is basically a bar on both sides that would go up and then meet all the way across. And that was an element that was preferred at one point. The state has indicated that that's just not a starter for them. They're just not even going to consider that. We must use the state approved poles. They've got a number of reasons for that, but there's just nothing we could do about that particular item. The other items that are not highlighted on that list are things that the steering committee made the determination were not or should not be as big of priorities as they maybe once were. The pedestrian lighting on the street, and I can show you an example of that here in a little bit. But basically the idea was that on a single light pole, you would have two lamps on it, one that would light just the street, and then a secondary lamp that would light the pedestrian walkway on the side. That was determined to be eliminated The Gateway Monuments, the electric ones, I think was another DOT issue. Pedestrian lighting, there's little bollards that were proposed at the intersections, things that stand about this high and have little lights that kind of shine down to kind of light the corner there, were removed. The rain gardens were also removed. Rain gardens were proposed initially, at least as I understand it, as a method of giving us some ability to save rain and stormwater storage space. Being a large commercial corridor, you didn't want to have a huge detention pond that was taking up a large portion of that available land. So the thought was that if we were able to use rain gardens, we might be able to get some credit for those rain gardens that were there. The department met with the Department of Natural Resources. They made the determination that the rain gardens were not going to be something that we would get credit for in terms of handling the stormwater. And as a result, the steering committee's thought on that was, since we weren't getting credit for it, that the cost of maintaining and upkeeping those particular items outweighed the little bit of a benefit that you might have in terms of aesthetic value. Second page, a couple other additional things that are also included that are not with you. Also attached to Attorney Wesolowski's email was a preliminary cost estimate, as you can see, from 2009. This was basically, in essence, all of those items that we just looked at that were included originally. You look at the bottom, your total cost per mile that was proposed ranged somewhere between $1.4 million and $1.6 million per mile that was there. And that did not include the bearing of the utilities. Didn't include any design or contingency fees or funds that were there. It also does not include any state community-sensitive design funds that would be available as well, which would be a credit to us. So that was just kind of an early estimate in terms of what we were looking at on that. Next page, which is going to be very hard to read, because of the monitor here, is the current cost estimate. This cost estimate includes the cost of burying the utilities, also includes the design and engineering fees. Those are kind of here in the middle. It also includes, you see this line here that I'm kind of moving on. Right here, there's the CSS elements. That's the community-sensitive standards that are there. There's a credit for us there. The calculation as it's set up in the spreadsheet, which was provided by the consultants, once you add in the $2 million cost to bury the utilities, works out to be a cost per community of about $895,000 per mile. So obviously with the stretch that you're looking at being 2 miles, you end up at about 17. Total per city. That figure obviously is not totally correct based on the meeting that took place with Oak Creek. Oak Creek indicated that they would be willing to split the utility costs here, not in half, but instead would be willing to pay 10%. By my calculations, if we kind of back out all that cost and then do all the rest of the calculations, what you're looking at to Franklin based on what is currently proposed is a cost of about $1.4 million per mile for the 2 mile stretch. And that would include all of those elements then, the burying the utilities, the design costs, the community sensitive design standard stuff. All of that would be included. So that's kind of your best estimation right now in terms of what all this is going to cost. In terms of the specific elements, these are also included in the packet, as Mr. Bennett indicated to you towards the back. But to just kind of give you an idea of what some of this stuff looks like, up here at the top is the Gateway Median Monument. That's something that'll be in the center of the road, in the median, at primarily the main intersections of the corridor, just kind of something to kind of brand the corridor in terms of, you know, where you're at and what's going on. next to it is a wayfinding sign. You can't really see it, but it's got, you know, courthouse and schools and whatnot and arrows that point to the direction that you need to go to do that. The advanced notice sign, just a sign that is placed before an intersection. So as you're coming up, say from the south, coming north, you would see one of these before most of the major intersections. This particular one, I think, says Ryan Road on it. As you're moving north, you would see one for College and Ross and et cetera.
Go ahead.
The three at the bottom here are the corner elements that are being designed. Now, the design on these is going to have to change a little bit. They're set up to be right angles right now. Because of the way that DOT's acquisition process is going to happen, they're going to end up being a little bit more fanned out instead of being that 90-degree angle, but the concept will be the same. This particular one is designed to just be a corner. You got some plantings that would grow in the middle here to just kind of give it a more natural look. There's gateway monuments that would be at the main intersections, College, Ross, and Drexel, I think. That just says welcome to whatever the corridor's branding is, joint project between Oak Creek and Franklin. And then the one on the right here is any location that there would be a signal cabinet. That's the little gray thing in the back. Just something to kind of hide those signal cabinets, make them a little less noticeable than they otherwise are. Additional elements that are being proposed, benches and trash cans kind of look like that. There is a multi-use path that is set at 10 foot wide under the current proposal. That would be just concrete that would be broomed, so it would be kind of a rougher finish to just kind of give traction in weather and whatnot. In the intersections, the idea would be kind of this stamped or colored concrete that would kind of set off the crosswalk areas that would be there. And then in terms of the lighting, the current proposal is a single light. Sorry, Craig, I'm hitting your back of your head there. A single light that would have a fixture at the end that would cover both the roadway over here and also the path on this way. That is a change from the original proposal. There would have been a smaller arm that would have been lower down that would have covered just this, and then this light would have focused more on the roadway. Current proposal, I believe, Jack, help me out, is LED lighting. So it's like what we have out front here, the more natural looking light instead of the orangish colored stuff. I think it's the Beta Edge that? This was kind of the thought as in terms of what we were going to get. The state was looking into, and we have not heard back yet, what, in essence, they're going to give us lights to replace what exists. The question was, what in terms of an LED light would they be able to give us for free versus what we might have to pay for? And so that might play into that decision a little bit if whatever their standard light is particularly not functional or unreliable, we might decide to pick something that's better than that. Just kind of an additional ideas of kind of how some of the stuff looks, like kind of gateway markers that are at the corners in terms of what's going on, and some of the median monuments, just to kind of give you an idea of the scale that we're looking at with some of these things. And the final design on these is still a little bit up in the air. These were kind of proposed designs. There are certain aspects to them that may need to be changed to meet breakaway requirements by the DOT and that kind of stuff. If it gets hit, it needs to break away instead of just standing solid, that kind of stuff. So the final design may change a little bit, and that's still to be determined. But the concept is that these types of things would be located in each of the places that are indicated on the map. Just to kind of give you an idea, again, kind of hard to see, sign bridge that was removed by the state. That it's this thing here, kind of, you know, solid piece that goes across. Instead, what we'll get is the traditional intersection. If you just look right out here on Loomis and Drexel, that is exactly what we're going to get, the big metal pole with the arm across. The difference is that the department has indicated they'd be willing to allow us to use a slightly colored version instead of the silver. We might be able to use like a black pole instead of the silver pole, that kind of thing. And then the bollard here is another removal that was done, a little short thing that just kind of lights the ground underneath it. And then the last thing is just another example of that pedestrian light versus not. These are examples, early examples of what that pedestrian light would look like. You can't really see it, but there's the arm there that then has the light that covers just the pedestrian walkways. And then this fixture covers the whole road. The current proposal is that this light is gone and this fixture has just been adjusted so that it covers the whole spectrum. And that is not a problem engineering-wise. They have mirrors and refractors in them that allow you to kind of set how wide you want that to be. So that's kind of what we're looking at in terms of the proposal as it stands right now.
Mr. Sajak, I'll ask the question of Mr. Bennett as well. First of all, the Plan Commission has had this in front of them and recommendations, and I think that understood what the committee had recommended, but also had made other recommendations to restore or keep things in, which is really the role of the Plan Commission, is to advise, not to really look at what the final cost may be, but to give the council the best advice possible. I don't know if you're familiar with the streetscaping elements that have been put in between Greenfield and the city of Milwaukee for their stretch of what they now call historic historic 41.
Right.
I know I'm putting you both on the spot, but in comparison to what they have, is this the extreme, going to the extreme with streetscaping elements, or is this head and shoulders over what Greenfield and Milwaukee have agreed upon? Is it something a little bit less than that? What I'm saying is, from the original proposals that have come in, and then with all the changes that the DOT made, how does this, in your opinion, how does this rank? Is it the middle of the road, above what Greenfield and Milwaukee have had, or?
I would say it's definitely above what Greenfield and Milwaukee have. Obviously, it's not what was originally conceived at the time that the streetscaping was started. That has been changed. A lot of it's been changed just because DOT won't allow us to do the bridges and some of the trees where we wanted it because of clear zones and you can probably understand that DOT has to handle the whole state. They have to have replacement parts, and they just do not want to have 110 types of street lights that they have to take care of. So, I mean, and street signals and that. So I was a little surprised how generous they started out to be, that, oh, yeah, you could do this and that. And really ended up, once we got into the higher-ups into DOT, they said, no way. So it isn't as elaborate by far of what was planned, but in my opinion, it would be well above what Greenfield's done.
So
Rachel,
I guess I asked Mr. Deedle that as well.
I would certainly agree with that. I'm actually not a fan of what they've done on that stretch at all. I think it kind of looks a little tacky, actually. But that's, you know, personal opinion. I would kind of add to what Mr. Bennett says, which is to go back to that first page that we talked about and look that in terms of things that have been removed from that original proposal, it's not a lot. And in fact, most of the things that really would have put a stamp on this corridor were things that ultimately, not being within the city's plural, decisions. It was a DOT decision that was kind of forced upon you in terms of roundabouts and sign bridges, that kind of stuff. So I think it's certainly a step above what Greenfield and Milwaukee have done. And even with the removal of certain items that have been in there, I don't think that, at least in my opinion, the original vision is all that far off from what we've ended up with at a significant cost savings as well.
Mr. Deagle?
I would believe that this is similar to and slightly better than what those communities have. But I also agree that there are differences. The DOT has put restrictions on us in terms of what we can do, which removes some of those that we have no control over. Them. So I do believe that this is as well or slightly better than what they have.
Okay. I guess before I open it up for debate, I would also ask the two representatives at the steering committee, all the things that have come forward, if they wish to speak on this, to talk to Commissioner Ryan and Alderman Taylor regarding the recommendations from the steering committee. So I guess I would look to Commissioner Ryan to weigh in on the subject.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the one thing that's really important with regards to this is that we have to remember that this is a major street for our community. It's also a major street for the city of Oak Creek. And so it isn't just our decision. It is a joint decision that needs to be reached unless we want one side of the street to be purple and the other side of the street to be orange type of thing. And so I think that there were some joint discussions between the two communities as to what they would want, what they were willing to pay for, what costs there were. And there were some people that had some very strong opinions about certain items and not so strong on other ones. And it was a case of where there was compromise reached based on what was in the best interest of both communities and still at a cost that we could afford. And so having done that and moved forward with a lot of discussion, I think it was something that, you know, is now time to come back and bring it back here so that the Planning Commission can deal with it, that the Common Councils can deal with it, so that we're on the same page moving forward rather than having the DOT tell us that you are going to do this and by the way. So I think we're being very proactive. I think we're being very cost conscious in the decisions that were made and in the recommendation that's being brought forward. And yet it's going to be something that can be built upon as we continue down 27th Street towards the county line. And that was something that was important to all members too, is that as we do this project, it needs to be able to be continued as we continue to get businesses to come into our area and look to attract businesses. Thus the reason the additional expense of burying the wires. Because as a realtor, I'm going to say one of the first things to getting a buyer in a house is curb appeal. And we looked at 27th Street and the curb appeal that we felt we needed to have in order to retain businesses and to attract businesses.
Thank you very much. Also, thank you for your work.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I'll just say that the mayor did a pretty good job summing up the meeting on March 13th, which I attended also. And, you know, up until that meeting, I really wasn't sure where Oak Creek was standing on this issue. We took it up last summer ourselves and started kind of getting our arms around it, as the mayor likes to say. And you know, I wasn't sure until that meeting. And that meeting, they were very clear that they were on board, very clear that they were willing to participate, that they were willing to contribute 50%, that they were willing to dispatch their common council and propose it, that they thought that they could get the job done. That level, just like I think we can get it sold to our colleagues, and then that they commit to the 10% at that meeting, bearing the power line. So, I think we've made a lot of progress since the participation of the program. I believe we can take it over, and then we have the joint meetings between Lynn and I and the steering department.
Mr. Haskins, anything? Chairman Haskins. I saw you in uniform the other day.
I'm curious if there's been any communication at Overland Mines with the return call from other people working in 27th or other areas of the city or other areas of the region that might
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, you might look at the only place that we have buried lines is in front of Northwest Provincial. They paid to have the lines buried in front of them. Also, if you look at the Aurora Center over here, it was very important that the lines be buried, so they paid for, when they built their building, they paid for the burying of lines. So that I guess would show you that high quality development, they actually, Northwestern Mutual actually paid for the burying of lines. That's one reason this isn't $3 million, because parts of it have been. And there's also another part, I don't know, south of Riverwood, which would be north of Rawson. A portion of that's buried, but I'm not exactly sure how and why that got buried. But those are two examples where some high quality businesses came in and wanted the lines buried.
Let me just re-ask that.
I'll just say, as the mayor, former alderman, and chairman of a bunch of committees in the past, I don't recall that there was ever that precise issue that came to my attention, saying, if you don't bury those lines, we're not coming in. I mean, it's, now, on the other hand, if you're looking to get the likes of Northwestern Mutual and Wheaton Franciscan and Staggered Suites, that corridor, I think the bearing of the lines, I would agree with what Commissioner Ryan had to say. I think it's very important. I haven't always been there, by the way. I mean, it's a, she knows.
Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
The other thing I would add to that discussion, that would maybe even more important than the aesthetics, now that the aesthetics are not important, but the idea that there's a continuation of service given a storm that comes through. As you look to have businesses come into that area, they cannot afford to be without power. And all you have to do is look at some of the windstorms we've had and know that mines that are above ground are very, very susceptible to, more susceptible to not providing continuous service than mines that are buried.
Yeah, I guess I would also say that the steering committee took up, and then representatives from Oak Creek and Franklin took up the streetscape elements, and it was, and oh, by the way, if you decide to bury the lines, Franklin, we'll come up with 10% of the cost. So I don't think any of you should feel compelled that you would have to have a lump, one motion to recommend to the council. I mean, you could have the recommend what the steering committee has recommended to the council with the 50% cost, and then have another motion over here that takes up what you feels appropriate for the burying of the lines. Or you could also say, well, or at a certain date, the lines should be buried. I just want, so you don't have that, you don't feel like you have a burden that you have to take this whole thing up in one big motion. And you could have 20 motions.
I'm not suggesting that I'm not in favor of burying the power lines, but it does, it's important aesthetically
. The only thought I had would be that all things being equal, it might promote development on the Oak Creek side of the street as opposed to the Franklin side of the street if that was an additional cost that a developer would have for that.
For the record, that was Commissioner Bartles speaking. I'm sorry, Mr. Sage.
I was just thinking that there is one example of not necessarily somebody who didn't come here because of power lines, but made the decision when they did come here to not bury the power lines, that they then, you kind of ended up biting them in the rear because of it, and that is the Boucher Volkswagen dealership up on Highway 100. They didn't bury their lines, and had the opportunity to do that, decided it didn't want to do it at the time when they came in for their new building or expansion. One of the concerns that they had to work around was that because they didn't bury the lines the first time, they were not able to bring in the transport trucks and whatnot into the parking lot as they had planned. And so they had to kind of redesign their property to kind of allow for that flow to take place within it because they didn't bury the lines in the first place. So it does give, I think, some competitive advantage to Franklin that you have the lines buried.
There are two things that come to mind, though, and that's that representatives from Dental Associates, very clear to me that they very much wanted the lines buried. And I think the conversation was, if you're going to expect us to apply with the high standards of the 27th Street corridor, then we're going to, I'm paraphrasing, but then we're going to expect you to, fulfill your obligation of burying the lines. And then we had at first a big battle with Walmart as to asking them to come up to the 27th Street corridor standards, and they did not want to do that at all. And I would say there was at least a year of arguments, at least, right? 2 years? Where, nope, we're going to do it. We don't have to do it. We're in a PDD, all that stuff. And I sort of remember either vice presidents of the organization at the ribbon-cutting ceremony or whatever going, okay, now we expect you to live up to all of these things that you made us do in the 27th Street corridor project. And I had enough meetings with Northwestern Mutual, Wheaton Franciscan, and Staybridge that I'm guessing they're also going to come back and say, okay, we came up to the high standards. We did everything that you asked us to do. We put brick on 90% of the building. We did this. We did that. And we did that all because this was the plan. I think there, we've had a lot of changes with members of boards and commissions, but, the promise of a city or a promise of a corporation is just that. And if you don't honor it, your credibility suffers greatly. So I think there's some very large expectations on those businesses that have complied already. And the gentleman that appeared earlier, he was correct. We had a lot of angry people at the meeting, and that was because the city took action to rezone 6 Miles Corridor. And under that, we said that there would be expectations. Higher standards and all that. So,
I appreciate Mr. Barlow's comment too. Chair, here I'm a little nervous about making sure that what Franklin has to offer is on par or it's on the other side of the street. Considering the exit, perhaps a large change, which makes me a little nervous.
In the last, on page 3 of that March 30th letter that I wrote to all of you, at the end, I said, I would also note that I remain open to the possibility of additional streetscape elements for South 27th Street corridor if at some point in the future additional resources, whether monetary or otherwise, would become available for this purpose. There's a very good likelihood that the economic situation will change. In fact, I believe it is changing. In that regard, I continue to encourage the cities of Franklin and Oak Creek to pursue innovative approaches such as a business improvement district like Milwaukee and Greenfield have in place already, and corporate sponsorships, and then grants that would be made available. So, we have a tough economic situation now, but that doesn't mean that many of the things that the plan commissioners have proposed in the past cannot be revisited or put in place through business improvement districts or corporate sponsors. Yes, Mr. Holfer.
So if you leave out the rain gardens and natural areas and go more conventional means and down the road, you're going to be able to regrade or do GI, you know what I mean? That would be kind of a mess. So some things you eliminate now, you don't have the opportunity to do them farther down the road.
Mr. Ben?
Yeah, I would think that would be very difficult to do now. One other thing that might be reasonable to do, for instance, if you wanted in the future pedestrian lighting, maybe a possibility that we could set poles up such that and get some additional wiring in. A lot of places put additional wiring in for Christmas decorations anyway. Put in some additional wiring, and you know, I think they could then retrofit pedestrian lighting on the other side of the pole if, you know, if that was needed in the future. So I think if you wanted to do things that maybe went that direction. But I would agree with Mr. Hofer that I think on the grading end of it, it would be very difficult. Because you're going to have under drains and all in there. You're going to have some way of grading this. I think it would be a big job to redo that.
So personally, I need to see it being eliminated because more and more municipalities are going in that direction, not the other direction.
Well, that's why we're having the meeting. Commissioner Wright?
Well, I think one of the other things, though, is that discussion happened on the 13th to some extent, and unfortunately what was referenced as something of what they look like and how they've been maintained is what is in front of South Milwaukee High School. And there's no way to say it, but that's not the most attractive way to do this type of work. But it looks pretty awful. And Oak Creek flat out said, we don't want that. That's not attractive. It doesn't look good. We don't want that. And so, I mean, part of that is, you know, I understand what you're saying, but there isn't anything that says that the next phase of this can't incorporate some of this, too. Remember, we're talking about the whole corridor, but we're only talking about the first phase of this, the first 2 miles. And I think these 2 miles, given what Greenfield and Milwaukee did, and then what we're doing, then you can take that and as that development continues, you can do some modifications and still keep the same look and keep the same help me out there. Like a stamp that says, you know, this is the 27th Street corridor.
Right.
It doesn't all have to be totally identical from one end to the next.
Transition.
Right.
Yes, thank you. I'm getting old here.
Mr. Micklin?
I guess I'll just reiterate what I spoke about it the first time around. I think the pedestrian amenities are really important right off the bat to set the stage correctly, because from an economic development standpoint, you can engineer certain sorts of economic development by the atmosphere you create out of the gate. And you can make promises and say, down the road, sure, we'll shine a light over there. But if you don't immediately show a state-of-the-art commercial corridor, and state-of-the-art commercial corridor is buried power lines and utility lines and pedestrian amenities, not to mention transit shelters. We talk about this Airtropolis concept where at some point we want to be able to have people get from Oak Creek to us, to Greenfield, to Greendale, to the airport and back very quickly and easily. And if we don't set ourselves up for it immediately, we may not be able to retrofit ourselves for it later. If we don't put the lights in now, I don't think the lights go in. So I would like to see a pedestrian light put in immediately so that businesses that are looking at the corridor see it as a place that people will linger and not just shoot through. We can't control the speed. The county says it has to be 45 minimum if you're driving. You don't see a lot when you're driving through there. So if we can create a walkable environment, I think we're going to bring in a better group of businesses.
Really?
Again, I'll share some of the comments. I mean, the first time we discussed it, following up on Commissioner Micklin, I think that the pedestrian amenities are important. And one of the problems with lighting the way we're proposing now by not having pedestrian scale lighting is you overlight the whole street is really what happens. These posts are way up there. They're throwing a big canopy of light. And yes, you can adjust them to tweak that down, but you're still throwing out a lot more light. It adds to light pollution, a general glow over the whole street, costs money for the additional electricity. It may be a small incremental cost up front, but I think in terms of, as John was saying, creating that pedestrian space and that feel, nobody likes to walk out of a building and be bombasted by bright lights. Maybe there's fixtures that can go on those same poles that are sort of a dual fixture that throws a whole different sort of a light down at a different angle. But trying to take roadway level lights up at that elevation and adjust them so that they pick up the street, you're going to run into issues with it. I've seen it done a lot of different ways. I think there are some things that you do up front and you do right. That would be one of them, or at least make the accommodation for it. It's the same thing with the overhead power lines and utilities. It's a fatal mistake to go there. It's extremely expensive to retrofit if you change your mind. If you've got a mishmash when you're going up and down, then actually end up with more guys. It's something you should just bite the bullet, make the decision, do it right the first time, and create that atmosphere that's really going to make people work. So I think that the utilities and the lighting is a no-brainer. That needs to go in early in the process, behind the streets. You know, it's one of the first things to go in. It's not an easy retrofit. And I seriously consider, we can do without bollards and things like that, but when you've got nice, wide, landscape pedestrian sidewalks and they're illuminated to the level that cars need, it's too much. And it'd be really nice if we could find a way to back that down and make it more pedestrian scale.
Mike Sweeney, Commissioner.
I just thought I'd thought since I've been so quiet here tonight that I do agree and back up 100% what John and Kevin both have to say. Very important to come out of the gates and present something. If you're looking to go ahead and create this image of trying to sell one side of the street, which is Oak Creek, and another side is Franklin, you have to come out strong. And again, a little bit of money in regards to the lighting itself, I think will be a big payoff in the end.
Well, the reason that we have these three groups together is to make a recommendation to the Common Council. It's always the biggest issue is going to be cost. And so, really, these are advisory bodies. No money, I believe, I'm looking at Alderman Solomon out there. I believe there's a penny that's actually been budgeted yet for any of this, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. And $2.8 million for this project is in addition to the $500,000 which we have already committed to the Drexel Avenue interchange that will become due by the end of this year. So you're up to 3.3. And my question is, we can go out and borrow those dollars, or you can put together a special tax incremental district, or you can assess people for these entities. However, one of the things we have to look at, and I'm hoping one of the committees in discussions with Oak Creek has looked at this, who maintains these elements? Who cuts the medians? We can't get the county or the state to cut the medians more than three times a year. Right now, the medians that we already have on Rawson Avenue, on Ryan Road, and who cuts from the trail to the street? And who plows the snow in the wintertime? This is all supposed to come from our maintenance, street maintenance budget. We all have capital dollars we can borrow, but these maintenance dollars are very difficult to come by in this economy right now.
I just would, again, sometimes, this is... what you have in front of it is the recommendations of joint steering committee for 27th Street, and then a meeting that took place with representatives from both parties, including the elected officials, the temporary mayor, and the now the current mayor. We were in the meeting, and it's one of these. So there was concurrence here on forwarding, at least for me, and I believe for the members of our steering committee, to forward a proposal that to agree to pay 50% of the cost for what I would call $1.4 million share, somewhere around there, or on about $750,000 per side. And then the separate issue of the burying of cables, which would be Oak Creek is saying they'll pay for 10%. So we're looking at about $1.8 million. So I'm just trying to keep the focus that this isn't a one-sided argument here. This is what our partner has offered. And so it's kind of one of those yes or no's, or if we're going to do additional things. Not saying that we shouldn't do it correctly, but we're going to do additional things. It may have to come out of the coffers of Franklin, or it would come from corporate sponsors or business improvement districts or whatever. Alderman Solomon.
Just a follow-up comment. Has anybody on these committees talked to Oak Creek about the maintenance of the corridor? Just a simple thing like who cuts the medians?
Well, I think the reason that no one's done that because it is a county, well, it's a state, but the county is control, is getting paid to maintain those.
Three times a year, not three times a month.
Well, they're getting paid to do it, and they're supposed to be doing it in an adequate fashion. As you're well aware, the state has cut the money to the county, but I'm guessing that's the reason we haven't had a big discussion on it. There was a lot of discussion regarding snow plowing and those things that might have gone in the medians in the middle, you know, breakaway versus non-breakaway statutes and things. Alderman Taylor?
Well, I was going to say that Mayor Jackson is correct that the county is the one that takes care of it. The area you described of 27th Street and Ryan Road all in the 9th District where we didn't have anybody down in the courthouse basically making the calls to get it done. We get it turned our state reps. The money's already there, and it's difficult to get anything done, so hopefully we can get someone down there to push it a little bit.
But the simple answer is no, because county's supposed to be doing it.
The state did make it very clear that if we have rain gardens in the terrace areas, if we have any kind of rain gardens in the median areas, that we're on our own. I think if we want this to be a show area, we're going to have to be like Hales Corners, Greendale. They have just decided they're going to take on maintaining it. So if this is going to be a corridor, what we're talking about, no question in my mind that we're not going to be satisfied with the state maintaining it. It's the county that maintains it, but the state has really cut their cost to the county. They're really kind of ticked off on the amount of money that the county charges them for the maintenance of the medians. And so they've ordered, I think, two cuttings of the state. The county can do what they want to on Boston Avenue and the county trucks, but they are doing it by contract with the state. I think the state said two cuttings and that's it, no more. And that's not, if you're going to have a corridor here that's going to look like something, you can't have cuttings twice a year. So there's no question that somehow you're going to have to arrange to maintain the medians. Whether you do have the owners association or whatever, have dues to do it, or you assess it, or whatever you're going to do, there's no question that in my mind that you aren't going to be able to depend on the state. They'll cut it twice a year, but if all of what we're putting into it, that would just ruin our whole streetscaping if you don't keep the area up.
Mr. Sweeney?
I just want to highlight, I work with, we have a lot of rain gardens up over down by the airport, the Garden District, working with Alderman Kowalski down there. And the concept of the rain gardens, I love it, I'm in favor for it, but the only thing that is realistic about having them is you either are truly having it funded to be maintained and groomed so it looks nice. If there isn't a fund available for that, I've been on several meetings. It is expensive. So just kind of put everyone's minds at ease. Getting rid of the concept of a rain garden. No, I would not like to see it go, but at the same time, if no one's paying for it, the cost to the city itself to pay for it will be, there's a budget door. So at this present time, I don't see funds available for the rain garden. Although, again, big fan, not maintaining them, they're going to get ugly, and they're going to break down, and then the cost of doing it is crazy.
The flip side is you're cutting the grass every week. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider.
Mr. Tadlock?
Well, if we're going to propose that the businesses that are lining up and down 27th Street for this corridor, are we looking at just our Franklin businesses that are going to maintain this, or propose that they're the ones maintaining? Are we going to get some kind of an agreement from the Oak Creek businesses that maybe they'll share in the cost of that?
There is no business improvement district for the stretch of the corridor right now. I have been pushing for a business improvement district probably for 3 or 4 years. Because I knew that this conversation was coming.
The look, the appeal, the aesthetics of this corridor is definitely going to greatly affect the businesses that line this corridor. It's going to, you know, attract to, you know, to bring the public to it. Just like, you know, John Mitchell was talking about as well, to create more of an environment where people will linger and walk and enjoy. There has to, in my opinion, there has to be something that is created where the businesses that are there are the ones that are going to help support this. If you want to really date me, I used to work in the city of Milwaukee. I did the flower beds. And
I
all
knew
that.
I saw that face.
On the boulevards, they did a beautiful job with the flower and put it all across mine.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting I'm willing to go mow the lawn, but
Washington Highland.
So, but I agree. If we're going to do it, we've got to do it right. And it's got to be aesthetically pleasing, and definitely we have the Berry Alliance. Because I've had so many people that have come to the city, they're relocating from different communities and couldn't even believe that their power lines are still broken down.
Well, you are or have been in the real estate business for, in fact, you were like the largest
real estate business, specializing in Franklin for 27 years.
Okay, Mr. Haley.
I guess I would just follow up with some anecdotal things that I've observed. Getting back to what I said earlier, you build it right. You don't squander the money, but you do the things that you need to. If we were to take a look at downtown Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, the Bid 21 Business Improvement District, they've done wonderful things down there. Street ambassadors fixing things up. But it cost them a huge incremental amount, I've worked with them, to get things back to that level. If they had been given a much better street condition, it's a lot cheaper and more effective to maintain and make something good of. So it may seem wise to try to save a few bucks up front. And on some things, I agree. If you're not going to maintain it, don't put it in, even if it's nice. But you know that ultimately there will be businesses out there, and they will care about their streetscape, and they'll see it as essential to their businesses. So do it right now. Give them the groundwork that they need to then step forward at some point and take on that maintenance. And that's what's happening downtown. They contract for all that, that whole facelift things that are happening there. You got business owners willingly paying for that. And I think that we would be foolish to not assume something similar is going to happen here. Let's give them the good base to start with, give them something to take pride in, and I think the businesses will step forward with the additional money.
Mr.
Tapp? If we're not able to count on the state, we're not able to count on the county to help maintain these grounds, you see it in various stretches of highways where, you know, adopt a highway type of thing. We've got very strong non-profit organizations within the city of Franklin, within the city of Oak Creek. Why could we not, you know, have stretches of the corridor where it's adopted by, you know, this section is going to be handled by Lions Club? If they're not going to do the work themselves, maybe they can raise the funds that will help cover the cost for such a project, giving them the reward or the notification that they are sponsored this area. Or the scouts, or whatever it might be, just as a suggestion to help cover some costs.
But I guess what I'm hearing is that there's strong desire that we try and get as much as we can with the original plan. You're saying, the original intent, Mr. Haley, and that maybe what needs to happen is tonight you have the joint recommendation from joint committees, as well as some of the elected officials from both communities on the elements. but I'm hearing that you would want to have additional conversations regarding maintenance subjects and who's going to do what, and that may also have to involve Milwaukee County and the state of Wisconsin and businesses. So that maybe we put that on the when the, go and meet with Mayor Scafidi or with the four aldermen along the area meet. We could bring that those subjects up and see if okay. So what do you feel about that? I'm hearing that you'd like to have the rain gardens or at least revisit the rain gardens, but I'm just saying as part of those discussions. But you still have what you have in front of you. It's kind of like a labor negotiation deal. Here's the deal. Are you in support of the 50% proposition on the elements? And is that something you would recommend to the Common Council? Or are you looking at something else to make a recommendation to? I mean, I've already laid out my position and that it would be to follow the recommendations of the steering committee. So, but we can, I'm used to round-the-clock negotiations, so we can be here for days. So, yeah. Why don't we just do this? Yeah. How many do we have?
Mr. Mayor, are you looking for a consultant from each group?
I was looking for, let's see if we got how much consensus we have on the 50%, the recommendation from the committees. Just looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay. The 14 representatives here, how many are in favor of going with your recommendations from the steering committee, and as well as two mayors and the staffs of the cities of Oak Creek and Franklin? So, well, let me just make a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So, I guess just based on that, I would make a motion, or I'd recommend that a motion be made to, in essence, recommend what is contained in the conclusion on page 3. Yes.
I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with having a conversation with those group about the maintenance questions that Alderman Solomon brought up, or saying, because you know, just like we're sitting here now, we haven't gone to the Common Council. We have one other alderman here. But we don't know what happens when that group that met on the 13th goes to Oak Creek. Maybe they're going to say, some members say, hey, what about lighting? So there still may be a little bit of negotiation and the both sides agree, but you know, we know what we agree upon there to bring back to communities. If we say we want lights and Oak Creek says we're not paying that additional, that's all coming out of Franklin's side. So we have to understand the cost. Right now, we know what Oak Creek is willing to pay based on that conversation, if they can sell it, which they did seem comfortable that they could sell that to their elected officials because of the director of administration, he said he's been talked to him and he's comfortable that that would go through. So,
well, we can also, I mean, the reason that we're prompting all these meetings is because there's going to come a time where we have to tell the DOT, both sides, what you're willing to pay for.
And that time's coming sooner rather than later.
Right. And you know how government is. I mean, if we start a meeting and it gets canceled and canceled.
Well, an Alderman Taylor is exactly right, but there's also another element in this, in that with Steve Scafidi being elected mayor, you lose that vote of the alderman. And so their dynamics on their council changed just a little bit, but not a lot. But the point still is that we know what we agreed upon. The sooner I think you move this forward, the better off everybody's going to be, because that decision from DOT is going to be asked for sooner.
Well, and it was very clear. I got to say, I thought it was a great meeting with Oak Creek. I really didn't know what to expect, given that you know we had all the discussions with Mayor Bolander, really. And I know Dick was on board because he said so at the 10th anniversary of C-Cup. But I really didn't know what to expect from the new leadership there. And I was very, very pleased to hear, one, yes, we still have a partner on 27th Street. But they also said, you know, their focus has turned to the Howell Avenue and to the lakefront. They have no bones about it.
And so, the Delphi property.
Yeah. Mr. Micklick, I'm sorry.
About the Delphi property, not to be the cynic in the room, but from a strategic marketing point of view, Oak Creek has their walkable mixed-use development. And if they want to look at this through dry commercial eyes, they're going to downplay any walkability, any sort of thing that we would have to offer on our side of the street. So we're going to have to be very aggressive about that. They're, as far as they're concerned, their needs are taken care of. You can take a left turn or you can take a right turn. And if somebody wants to go to a place that reminds them of Disneyland where they can walk around and go from place to place, they'll take the right turn and they'll go to the mixed-use development. If we want that sort of development, we're going to have to be very aggressive about saying there will be lighting, there will be pedestrian-level development here. We want multi-story up to the street, and the only way to promote that is to have human-scale development rather than these giant lights that are spotlighting the whole place. If they're smart, they'll be very passive about that. They'll say, well, you know, do whatever you want to do, but we've got our walkable area already in place. So I guess the point is we're going to have to be a little more enthusiastic about it than we. It's not a 50-50 desire right now. It's about an 80-20 desire. We're going to have to swing a bigger hammer.
Now, I have to disagree in that the meeting really started off on an extremely positive note. And right from the get-go, the message to me was, you have a partner. We are still your partner. We are still dedicated to the 27th Street corridor. Okay, how do we work together? That came from both Mayor Feckler and Mayor Scafidi, loud and clear, crystal clear, in fact. And the staff, and they all worked towards. They all said, I mean, there was no coaching or anything. It was, Mayor, you got a deal. You still have a partner. We want to tell the steering committee members and all the members from Oak Creek Steering Committee were totally, completely on board with all of this stuff. Yeah, and they want to make this happen. But, you know, if you've got development proposals coming in for Hall Avenue and you have an opportunity to maybe visit the lakefront, I mean, if I were the mayor of Oak Creek, that's where my attention.
They committed to Drexel? To the road?
Well, four lane.
Four lane.
Which is going to cost them
$6 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other thing was, Mayor, we were all sat there, and I don't want to say our mouths could judge them, but I think we were pleasantly surprised when they offered to help bury them.
10%, yeah, I was shocked.
I mean, we were like, thank you.
Well, let me ask is there a, can we fashion a motion on the first part of the recommendations from the steering committee and then take up the second piece about the bearing of the lines? Mr. Sajak?
I thought you were the best municipal attorney in the state. I think that's your job.
He still is.
You're the 27th Street lawyer.
Yeah, you're the best at
27th Street. Best of 27th Street. All right, excellent.
You're up, kid.
We all have to have goals, I guess. I would guess I'd kind of echo what the mayor had suggested, which would be a motion to recommend to the council the adoption of the joint 27th Street Steering Committee's recommendation of a 50% cost share split on the items presented.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
It's been moved by Commissioner Malarkey, seconded by Commissioner Cass. Is that correct? Okay, and we have 14 voting members in attendance. Mr. City Attorney.
Will there be a separate motion with regard to the job period?
I had planned on bringing up another motion. All right, why don't we have a roll call vote on that? Mr. Malarkey?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Commissioner yeah. Ryan?
Aye.
Mr. Cass?
Aye.
Mr. Holford?
Aye.
Mr. Bartles?
Aye.
Mr. Sweeney?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Tadlock?
Aye.
Mr. Haskins?
Aye.
Mr. Mickley?
Aye.
Mr. Ritter?
Aye.
Mr. Haley?
Aye.
Mayor votes aye. Mr. Bennett?
Aye.
Okay, I believe we have unanimous a vote of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 members of the three committees of the city. If there's no objection, I'd like the vote recorded as unanimous. Seeing none, the vote is recorded as unanimous. So 14 ayes, no noes. Motion passes and it is recorded as unanimous. All right, on a second motion regarding the proposal from the City of Oak Creek regarding the burying of the various cables on the Franklin side of 27th Street regarding a 10% share. Mr. Sajak, would you mind making a motion on that?
A motion to recommend to the council is the general desire, we'll just do the motion and see. Recommend to the council the adoption of the recommended 90% Franklin, 10% Oak Creek split on burying the power utilities within phase one.
Okay, is there a motion to that effect?
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Mularkey, seconded by Mr. Haley. Mr. Ritter?
Public bodies. I would think motions by each of the order, frankly, I think motions by each of the groups, unanimous motions by each of the groups, might make a better statement on that.
I'm willing to do that, Mr. City Attorney.
That's what I anticipated after Mr. Sadek made the first motion before starting to come in.
All right, well, we'll take the consensus. Motion first, and then I'll ask that each committee take it up separately, to both motions. Mr. Mularkey made the motion, seconded by Mr. Haley. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, the chair recognizes 14 affirmative votes. If there's no objection, I'd like the vote to be recorded as unanimous. Seeing none, the vote is recorded as unanimous. Now, on a... as the chairman of the Plan Commission, I will ask the Mr. Ritter is making a motion that encompasses the two former motions that were made by the entire body, and it is seconded by Mr. Haley. For the Plan Commissioners, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 4 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. I would ask Mr. Haskins to ask his body to take it up. And now, as the chairman of the Community Development Authority, I will take up the same two motions that were made by the Plan Commission and that were also made by the Forward Franklin Committee, and ask the members of the Community Development Authority for a motion to that effect. Is there
so moved?
It's been moved by Commissioner Ryan, seconded by Commissioner Mularkey. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, we have 4 ayes, I'm sorry, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Is there any further business that needs to be conducted by this or joined the summit?
I have a presentation.
Mr. Needle?
Is there anything that we would want to tackle right away in regards to the maintenance? Talk to anybody in particular, pull anything together?
Someone wanted to make a motion that the mayor and the representatives of the steering committee for Franklin continue discussions about maintenance and or such other items as were brought up tonight. Is there a motion to that effect? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
It was moved by Commissioner Cass, seconded by Commissioner Mularkey. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, the chair recognizes 14 votes. no votes, there's no objection, I'd like the vote to be recorded as unanimous. Seeing no objections, the vote is recorded as unanimous. Is there a motion to adjourn? There's a motion to adjourn the plan commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
So moved.
Second.
All right. As the chair of the committee, CDA, there's a motion by Mr. Malarkey and seconded by Mr. Bartles to adjourn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you all very much for your time and patience. And good luck.